Next to one of the candidates running in Ireland South, that is the European constituency that Kerry is part of, there are 23 candidates running in the five-seater constituency. And today we speak to Susan Doyle, who represents the Social Democrats. Good morning to you, Susan. And briefly, for people not familiar with you, because you're not from the county, tell us a bit about yourself.
Good morning, Teresa, and thanks very much for having me. I'm running for Ireland South, and I am a solicitor. I work in Cork. I have a practice, and I've run that since 2019. I deal mainly with housing rights, disability rights, and immigration law. So I suppose I believe a lot of people at the moment are tired of politics, and they don't think it's working for them the way they should. I'm obviously not a career politician in that I've just come into this election as a candidate for the first time, but I really want to bring my experience to bear within the EU. I feel the EU doesn't work enough for social rights at the moment. I think disability rights are left behind, in particular housing rights. The EU could be doing a lot more in those areas, so I would like to really push for those changes if I was elected.
Okay, and you have an expertise, you have a knowledge as a solicitor, particularly in relation to immigration matters. What
Correct.
Are your views
yes.
when it comes to European legislation? For example, the EU's very controversial migration and asylum policy reforms.
Yeah, I mean, look, the EU Migration Pact has some, has some positives and advantages. For example, it would reduce the processing times and make decisions faster within the international protection system. I'd also welcome the solidarity mechanisms, as they're fairer. There's a huge burden on countries like Italy and Greece at the moment, and conditions for migrants in those countries are also appalling. But there's definitely some aspects of the pact which are very concerning. I know this has been debated a lot over the last few weeks. So one of the concerns I would have would be the border detention aspect. So this is a sort of legal fiction that would be created by the Act, where people would be sort of in Ireland but not in Ireland if they came to apply for international protection. They could be detained for up to 12 weeks while a decision's made, but we haven't really fully considered what that will look like. So it could impact on people's rights negatively. We don't know, for example, if people would be locked up in prison-like detention, or if they'd be free to come and go. We don't know if children were in detention, whether they'd be entitled to an education. We don't know what would happen, say, if there were delays in processing, which we've seen in the International Protection Office in Ireland. There are massive delays in processing times, which is a huge problem. So we don't know what would happen there either. So I think there's a lot more debate that's needed about that pact.
And do you think there's been compassion missing from the debate on migration policy, that you were saying there's some serious issues about people's human rights being potentially seriously curtailed at the best if they're detained in these centres for several weeks potentially?
Yeah, I think at the moment, look, there's obviously a crisis in Europe. We've seen massive amounts of people arriving in Europe, and they're coming by dangerous means, I suppose, by dinghies. A lot of people are drowning, and of course we need to look at that, and that we have to have compassion in that area. But I do think there's a lot of people at the moment that are trying to push through pieces of legislation that maybe aren't compassionate and don't take people's rights fully into account.
And for example, do you think there should be when we sign off, or the EU signs off on this migration policy, do you think there should be a referendum in this country? That has been mooted by the likes, I think, of Senator Michael McDougall, that it's something that really it's making a huge change as to it's a very, very important aspect of the administration of a country as to how you decide who comes in to the state. Do you think there should be a referendum?
Well, in the Irish Constitution, the state has full power over our immigration policy, and that has always been there, I suppose, to allow quick changes to be made where it's necessary. This doesn't change that really. You're still, I suppose, if there's a vote in the Dáil, you're still you're giving some of those powers over, but that is within the right of the state at the moment, because, as I said, the Constitution allows the government to have full control over immigration policy. So I don't know if a referendum is necessary, but what is necessary is a great deal of debate in the Dáil about this. I believe it's already been debated for about 6 hours in total. And the other thing is, there's a proposal to ram through all parts of the pact without, and there are 10 separate parts of the pact that could be debated individually and voted on individually. And I think there should be more debate on that, and people, I suppose, they have an individual debate on each part of the pact rather than pushing it all through as one piece of legislation.
On the nature restoration law, the controversial nature restoration law and environmental protection measures from Europe, it's getting a lot of pushback here from some sections of the society. What is your view on that? For example, if I'm a farmer listening in this morning who feels that the agricultural sector has been the whipping boy when it comes to taking the blame for environment, for the climate crisis, what would you say to someone like that who's saying, look, we feel nature restoration law and other measures from Europe are too focused on what farmers are doing and not focused enough on what other sectors are doing to the environment?
Yeah, I can understand the frustration of farmers, definitely. But we have seen how year on year Europe's experiencing more fires and drought and rain. And I mean, even earlier this year, the impact on tillage. I mean, farmers have a vested interest in ensuring that climate change is tackled. And I know that they've been protesting and they're angry, but I think the main thing is that we need to push for them to be compensated for any losses that they incur as a result of the new law. And that law does include mechanisms to compensate farmers. So obviously it may or may not be approved in the next council meeting, which is going to take place on the 17th of June. I know Belgium and Hungary have opted out, and so we'd be lobbying council members at the moment who've abstained previously to vote yes. We would definitely be pushing for the nature restoration law to be introduced, but we'd also be pushing for fair compensation for farmers. The compensation itself obviously would be thrashed out after the vote is passed and the law would be introduced. But I do think there's a lot of misinformation and scaremongering out there at the moment about the impact that this law would have. A lot of our commitments, for example, on rewetting could be done on state land. It wouldn't necessarily have to be on agricultural land. And look, I mean, the Social Democrats have proposed a climate restoration fund of 5 billion euro to set up a new semi-state body to invest in renewable offshore wind energy, and also a 1.5 billion euro fair transition fund for farmers in your rural communities. So obviously that fund we'd be pushing to have, you know, available to farmers to compensate them for any losses. But look, it's in all our interests to resolve the climate issues.
Well, we'll leave it there. And thank you so much for joining us this morning.